Hello and welcome to another episode of Coffee and Code. I'm your host, Ashley Coffee, and I'm so excited to have a special guest on the show with me today and also a friend, Janae Gooden. Janae is the CEO and founder of Big Ass Bags, an amazing concept that helps people shop more efficiently when they're online from different stores. So I'm excited to talk to her about entrepreneurship, unconventional pathways into technology, and some of the other topics that we don't typically cover when we think about entrepreneurship, such as mental health. So thank you so much for taking time to be on the show today, and welcome, Janae.
Thank you so much for having me, Ashley. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited that you're here. First off, for the audience, I want to say thank you for rescheduling because this is the third time we've had to reschedule. I had the flu and a lot of things, but thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. I know as an entrepreneur that your time is very valuable and you don't have a lot of it. And I want to take a moment to appreciate the fact that you're coming to us from your closet today. I think that's very on brand.
It is. It's the only quiet place. I have two kids, two dogs, a partner. There's a lot going on in this house. No one will bother me in this closet.
It's your sanctuary.
It is.
I love it. Well, Janae, before I let everyone kind of know how we started, you know, talking to each other and got to know each other, can you tell us a little bit more about you and a little bit more about Big Ass Bag?
Yeah. So I just mentioned I have some kiddos. So I'm a dog mom and a two-legged kid mom. They keep me on my toes. I have previously actually owned a business. I feel like whenever I encounter a problem, my first thing is like, okay, well, how can I solve this? And is this something that can be solved for other people? So that's literally what happened whenever I thought of Big Ass Bag. I was looking for things for the youngest daughter to wear. And I had my laptop open. I had the 20 tabs open. I'm doing the command tab thing back and forth, you know, a couple things in the Target shopping cart and like a couple things in the Kohl's shopping cart. And I kept thinking this would be so much easier if I could just put this all together, like in a big ass bag. There was profanity involved.
Of course.
And yeah, I was frustrated. And so that's really how like the idea started. I couldn't find the software problem at the time. I started, you know, of course, looking to see if other people had the same issue, and they did. And so I just really kind of took my experience and then all this other experience that I had previously had, like with business, and decided to solve the problem for me and other mamas and just people who shop online.
I love that. So it's a Chrome extension and an app, correct?
Correct. Our Chrome extension is like, it's flying, y'all. Like, you should go to Chrome and you should download Big Ass Bag. Our iOS is a little bit more like of a beta. But like, if you are one of those people who you want to be an early user, you mm-hmm. want to get feedback that helps someone build something, then mm-hmm. download that iOS. And I love getting emails and messages from people that I don't know, like, hey, can we do this? Yeah, we can.
Wow. We can. That's amazing. And okay, so tell me, how long has it been since you had this idea and like here you are now? Because I feel like, you know, time dilation is real, especially 4 years ago, we were in a pandemic. So how long have you been working on this?
I think I'm so glad you asked this question because I think it's really important. We just always have this idea that someone came up with something and then like 6 months later, they're making $20 million a month. That's not right? How that happens.
We wish.
Yeah, I know, right? And I'll tell you too, it's actually from other people I've talked to, a pretty quick timeline. So I came up with the idea in December of 2021. And I immediately in that month, after talking to a bunch of people, gotten this accelerator that gave me $5,000 just to test the idea. So I'm like, okay, bet, let's go. It took me until May of next year to have my first Chrome MVP. And when I tell you it was trash, it was trash. Because I mean, you know, I had $5,000 and I'm, you know, trying to get this thing going. And it was designed by me as far as like the UI, UX. And that's not my ministry. That's not what I need to be doing. And it worked on maybe 200 stores. And then if you're kind of like familiar with like the tech stuff, you would scrape the information you needed from each page. And so anytime that store updated anything, it would break. And so I was in there trying to update CSS selector information, which I like to say I'm tech adjacent. And so that's not something I was good at. And then, you know, I'm trying to like upload JSON files to AWS. Y'all, it was a mess.
Wow. That's a lot of skills that you've leveraged from previous roles, I feel like, that kind of culminated to help you where you are now. That's amazing.
And also, I feel like my superpower is I'm not afraid to break something.
Very important.
Yeah. Yeah. Just copy everything, put it over here. So that way, if you break it, you can just take what you copy, put it back in. But yeah, like that's how it started. And then, you know, I began to get, of course, like users, feedback, that type of thing. Did some more accelerators, got a little bit of funding. We love funding. And so really by January of 2023, I had this, you know, professionally designed UI, UX. It was a lot cleaner. We had implemented that. And then, you know, you start to see the user trend, you know, trending northeast. And so that was pretty exciting. In 2024, like I said, we just released our iOS app at the end of last year and have been, you know, slowly kind of building that up too. So that's how I got here.
That is so awesome. And, you know, like give yourself a little bit more credit because, you know, as an entrepreneur, you wear all the hats. I remember you were doing user research because you were doing polls on social media to ask people what they wanted. And honestly, that's a great thing to do. That's the best way to get to where you want to be is asking people what they want.
Yeah.
So props to you for leveraging the tools that were available to you to, you know, learn and try and do with what you can.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. But yeah, no, you should always ask your user. What I thought that we needed, like what I thought was important, was really interesting sometimes to get feedback and find out, like, for example, if you're shopping online and you're adding different products from different stores, people want to know, well, when does this price go down? Like that's probably one of the most important things that they want to know. They want a notification about the change in price. And I just knew that it was one touch checkout. I just knew that that's all that anyone cared about. And it was, once again, interesting to find out, actually, no, this is more important. This is going to affect what I'm purchasing more than being able to check out from multiple stores at once.
It's such a cool idea. And one thing I want to mention here is that I feel like you were ahead of the curve whenever you brought this idea to life, because one of the things to help accelerate, you know, growth and scale is, you know, attaching to a passing train. What is currently existing can I leverage for an idea? And I think Chrome extensions, that's such a great opportunity to put an idea like this to life that actually provides value for the people that are wanting to shop. I mean, like so many times you hate having to create a new account and deal with like all of this and like, where's my tracking number for that order or this order? So I think you're solving a lot of problems in a very efficient way. So I want to give you flowers for that. But I want to ask you, so one thing you mentioned is to not be afraid to break things and try new things and just start somewhere. Talk to us a little bit more about some of your previous experiences and how you feel those have informed your entrepreneurship hat and your woman in tech business owner hat.
Yeah, I'll tell you the biggest one for me is about, I guess it's probably 10 years ago now, I got RYT 200 certified. And so for those not in the know, I basically have a certification, a 200-hour certification to teach yoga. And that transformed my life. And then I kind of took that. I started doing pole also, I think all the aerial arts, lyra, those types of things. And I ended up not waking up on time a lot, and I got fired from my job. I'm sharing.
Oh no!
Yeah, it was a while ago. We live and we learn. I'm still friends with a lot of those people. but I had this moment where I was like, okay, am I going to go back into corporate America? Like, what is it that I want to do? I'd really found a lot of passion and of course yoga. And so I decided that I was going to teach yoga.
Wow.
So the biggest things that I learned, started cold calling companies, and I was going to teach corporate yoga. And I ended up getting, yes.
Smart.
Right? Because if you think about what someone is normally paid, it's $15 an hour. And this is the type of thing that we would have conversations about in yoga teacher training. So if you start adding in gas, if you start adding in the time that it took you during the week to plan out your lesson plan, because when you guys go to a fitness class, somebody put in the work to figure out what you were going to do. You know, they look to see what are the contraindications of the people who are coming. Does this person have a knee injury? Does this person have like, you know, shoulder, have they had like a shoulder surgery recently? Like those types of things. And then of course, you're also taking into account how much did all the training and the workshops and the books and everything they you know, have like all this knowledge. So basically $15 an hour, you're losing money. And so I thought, well, how can I do this where I can actually make money and how can I leverage my time? And that's when I came up with this corporate yoga idea. And so I charged between $50 and $60 for like a half hour to 45 minutes. And I would go into corporations and I would teach yoga. And I got a client that first week, a big one in our local area. Yeah, I just because I called, literally just because I called.
You put in the work.
I did. And y'all, I taught there six times a week just for that one client. And so for me, the biggest thing that I learned was like, you can't be afraid to break stuff. And I'm going to get no a lot, but I need to be the person that lets the other person tell me no, right? Like, I don't need to tell myself no first.
Interesting.
I need to give you an opportunity to tell me no. And so that, like, for me, it was like a light bulb moment of, if I want something, I can create it and I can make it happen. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean I'm not going to break anything, but it's okay. It's okay.
You just gave us a truth bomb right there, honestly, of like, don't tell yourself, let someone else tell you no. Don't tell yourself no. Wow. I think a lot of people need to hear that. And especially in entrepreneurship, where we can really overanalyze things. And it's important to make sure you take care of yourself and your mental health, right? And I love that you integrated. And also, side note, let's not forget that you're a certified project management professional. No big deal. You have all these amazing different hats that you wear that you do well. Can you tell us a little bit more about like how you've been able to handle entrepreneurship and being a mom and, you know, being a friend and all those other, you know, hats that you wear and also taking care of your mental health?
Oh, okay. So also glad you asked this. So y'all, I'll tell you a little bit about me. Personally, I have been diagnosed with lupus, and the biggest thing with that is stress can exacerbate that. So I was like, let's start a business. Let me just be responsible.
As you do.
Yeah, of course. Let me just be responsible for more stuff and other people's income. That's fine. But you get it. Mm-hmm. But for me, one thing that I remember my rheumatologist telling me is tired rest. Don't martyr yourself. Don't martyr yourself. And so we talked a little bit about this, Ashley, and like I said, we've been friends for a while, so you kind of know a little bit about me. Y'all, sometimes doing the best and like being the best entrepreneur is actually not working on the business at that moment. It might be going and taking a walk around your neighborhood. It might be literally taking a nap. And then I have just been thinking a lot about like our individual stories and like what is a normal experience, quote unquote, and what is an abnormal experience. Mm-hmm. And so the more I talk to other entrepreneurs, the more I talk to other people in tech, the more I have these conversations of, hey, you know, I enjoy what I do, but I really want to make sure that I'm having downtime, or I really want to make sure that I'm, you know, spending time with my dogs or like, you know, my... My kids, like my partner, those types of things. And that also helps me feel that it's okay and like normal to take time away. Like I hate hustle culture. I mean, hustle, but like, can we have some downtime? Like, can we not fry our brains and just like who we are internally because we've just just burn the candle at both ends and have nothing left. So I'm telling you, it's fine. You can take a break. It's okay. Go ahead, watch that episode that you've been wanting to watch for a while. Take a nap.
Yes. Yes, plus one to that. I'm curious though, Janae, how long did it take you to get to that point where you told yourself, all right, we're going to chill. We're not going to burn candles at both ends because there's always going to be candles to burn and things to do.
Yeah. It took a while, honestly. Mm-hmm. I would say I probably just got to that point like within like maybe the last like 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah, because I had this business and then like that kind of morphed into a studio. And I felt like I had to be there. I had to be available for everyone's questions, like those types of things. And then after that happened, I had the youngest daughter. And so then, you know, we're just throwing another kid on top of it. And she's very much a mommy's girl. And so she's just kind of
me. And she's so a giant ray of sunshine.
I love her. She's fun. She's fun. She's fun. And so I just felt like I always had to be available. And then I realized I can't be a good version of me. I can't be creative. I can't problem solve. I can't answer questions if I have not taken care of me first.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I, you know, kind of had the COVID, hey, let's not go anywhere or do anything time, that was really helpful for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of a reset.
It was just helpful. It was. And I didn't want to have to have the entire world shut down again for me to need to reset. So I'm taking the time myself. And I've done really well with it, I think.
Good. That right there is like a huge piece of advice for anyone listening who is thinking about going into entrepreneurship or has been there for a while. Sometimes it's nice to hear these things to know that you're not alone in the struggle. And you're right. The hustle culture can be toxic. Sometimes there's a difference between that hustle culture and the true hustle culture, which is making sure your cup is full enough so that you can serve and be there for yourself in all capacities. You're driving the ship, and it's a wild ride.
It is.
Well, I want to ask you a very specific question here, because I think maybe some people or a lot of people have found themselves in this situation. As you know, a lot of companies, large companies, technology companies have been laying off people tons. Mm-hmm. And I think some people are kind of like reconsidering, what is that next career move? Do I start that business?
Yeah.
Do I do that? Do I stay in a job that I don't really like? So what was that moment for you when you decided that you're going to dive into Big Ass Bag full time, you're going to commit, you're going to burn the boats? That's a term I learned in Sri Lanka, where you're just like, you commit. I mean, there's no looking back.
I love it.
That can be a very difficult decision to make. So what did that look like for you?
Yeah, it honestly kind of looked a little bit like it did when I had gotten fired from the other job and decided that I was going to do yoga. The funding for my position had kind of ended. And so I knew like in advance what was going to be happening. But my thought was, okay, you have this idea, you have this thing. What traction or where do you need to be at by the end of the year to continue with this? Like, what would make you feel like you've got something going on? And so this kind of started happening. I guess it was the summer of 2022. And I started asking myself those questions. And so for me, I felt like I needed to be able to see some traction. I needed to have some sort of funding or like a viable source of funding that was within reach. Like, yeah. I needed to be close to it. And I had to have that by the end of the year. I had, and I'm not telling anyone to do this, but I just want to be super transparent. Since I was leaving that job, I took money out of my 401k.
Mm-hmm. I've talked to a lot of women that have done that, honestly, that decided to start their own business and needed, like, sorry, not all of us have a trust fund. And sometimes you got to work with what you got.
Exactly. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to take out this much and I'm going to give myself to December. I had a little kind of part-time contract gig happening too that gave me like about an extra grand a month. And so I just clearly mapped out like what I needed and how long I could last before I had to find a job. And so I had until February of the next year, 2023. So I thought, I don't have traction or a clear path to getting funding by December. I've got to go get a job. And I ended up getting a little bit of traction. Which was exciting. I got some funding, and the funding was that they would match any other funding that I got. Wow. So I was like, okay, I can do this. I can do this.
Yeah.
And so I ended up getting $200,000. Yay. Yes. Me.
Congratulations. That's a lot of hard work.
Thank you. And I just like to take this moment to point out, you know, VC funding, like less than 0.5% goes towards Black women. So
mm-hmm. It's good to call those things out.
Yes. And I think, what is it? It's less than, I think, 1% just in, like, goes toward women in general. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're like, I feel also a lot of, I don't want to say weight, but like, I'm not just doing this for me. I'm doing mm-hmm. this for all women. I'm doing this for all women of color. Like, let's get it. I'm doing this for the moms.
Yes.
But that for me was my mindset. And that's honestly how I continue to approach it. I set out like a milestone and a goal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't reach X by this time, then okay, here's what plan B is. And so far it's worked out.
I love that you did that you created kind of a path forward for yourself with some tangible, you know, key performance indicators, let's call it. And I think that's where maybe a lot of people get lost, is they don't set those goals yet. But I want to mention something here that it's important. It's like you had you made a promise to yourself and you kept that promise. Yeah. And I think that's really important to be honest with yourself at all stages of that decision-making process. So props to you. And thank you for being transparent about numbers. It's also something that I believe in, to help demystify the numbers conversation, especially as women. We don't get paid as much as we should. So I like to be transparent from the perspective of the intent is to help inform and educate those that we can negotiate our worth and can get paid on the same level as our male counterparts.
Yes, we do definitely need to be very transparent about that. So that's something I value, and it's helpful for me in knowing where I should put my goals.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, whenever you were setting those goals out for yourself, did you seek mentorship in your community?
Yeah.
Did you do a lot of self-reflection? What did that look like to you to lean on a supportive network of select people as you were getting this idea off the ground?
Yeah, I'm real big about mentorship. I love mm-hmm. being able to pick up the phone and ask someone who's done it how they did it, and if they could do it over again, what they would not do. So specifically, one of the things I mentioned was the accelerator that gave me the $5,000. It's called Builders and Backers. I'm obsessed with them. Y'all, if you have an idea, go to their website, research them. They're in different cities. Eventually, they'll be worldwide. I promise. They're
That's
taking
awesome.
Over everything.
That's great.
Resource, but it's just $5,000. And because of that accelerator, I was able to meet, of course, like the founder and the co-founder of that accelerator. And when I say being able to pick up the phone and ask someone, like, okay, you've seen this all, you know what's going to happen next. What are good milestones? Mm. Like, what should I focus on? That to me was invaluable. Could mm-hmm. I figure it out myself? I mean, I'm a smart girl.
Yeah.
Eventually, but what mentorship and coaching does is it just takes your timeline and it just like truncates it.
Yes. It's like a shortcut.
It is. So y'all, like, hear me when I say, if you can afford it, if you can make it happen, like, it happen, because that's going to be the thing that literally accelerates you and gets you to where you want to be at a lot quicker. It's totally worth your time, your money. Mm-hmm.
I actually had a business coaching session today with my business coach, and just being able to have those pricing conversations and get feedback in the moment of like, I think that's a little too high, or I think that's a little bit too low, or maybe this is how you should consider positioning this. Those conversations are invaluable, and to be able to cut to the chase, like, that gives me what I need as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, to make tactical and informed decisions, because someone else has already been there. They're seasoned. Mm-hmm. They've seen it almost seen all of it. And what better to learn from than someone who has had that experience? And I think it's important to have that different perspective too. I like having both yes. male and female mentors in different industries to help provide that just like that different perspective that can be really valuable. And I know you've done a great job of being really involved in the community. And I feel like you were kind of seen as a mentor yourself of being a pioneering woman in tech, especially in Oklahoma, where there aren't a lot of women in tech, to be frank.
Yeah.
So you're really, you know, paving the way for a lot of others. And I'm curious, kind of like, what does that vision of the future look like for Big Ass Bags? Are you seeing it becoming like, you know, I see like an HQ somewhere in like Tulsa, Oklahoma City, and like we're calling it the Silicon Prairie now, and Big Ass Bag is one of the landmark technology places. Like, what does it look like for you?
So a couple of things. I want to be acquired. That is my goal. Yeah. I could see like Capital One shopping, you know,
yes.
acquiring, you know, BAB, and then it becoming the thing that they offer as a perk to Capital One cardholders, you know, like, oh, you yes. can check out, you know, with your Capital One card from all these different stores. Like, I could totally see that. So, integrate vision.
I can see vision. That's very practical and makes clear sense.
So that's my long-term goal. But as far as like how that kind of plays in into Oklahoma, the what you call it, the Silicon Prairie
Valley. Yeah.
I love that.
Thanks to Chris Lafayette. He's the one that coined that term whenever I was telling him about Oklahoma and technology. He was like, oh, the Silicon Prairie. And I was like, that's great. I'm going to use that.
I like loved it. Like, let's make that a thing. Can you go ahead? You trademark it and I will.
Done. Let's make it a thing. Done. And we'll just have cowboy hats like Beyonce. Yeah. New album dropping 329. Gotta spread that word.
Well, guys, as far as Oklahoma goes, my big thing is I do a lot of advocacy work for this organization called Right to Start. And they basically just believe that, hey, if you want to start a business, you should be able to do that. And there shouldn't mm-hmm. be a lot of barriers, right? So what mm-hmm. are those barriers? How do we influence policy to make sure that, you know, it doesn't take you 72 steps to start a bakery out of your house or whatever the situation is. And I want to do that for Oklahoma. I want people mm-hmm. to think of Oklahoma and like, I want to put retail technology on the map. I want to, my sister actually lives in Texas and she was telling me about a lady down there. She's supposed to connect me with her, but I guess she was the first Black female founder. And I don't want to get it wrong, but basically she was like the first to, I think, get like acquired, like in a certain sector, like that type of thing. I want mm-hmm. to do that for Oklahoma, draw in all of the funding, draw in all of the resources for technology, because, oh, did y'all know that like they're doing things for women in tech in Oklahoma? Did you hear about this multimillion-dollar company? Oh, you know, did you know that they're really growing entrepreneurs out there in Oklahoma. You hear about, you know, Big Ass Bag. That's really like what I want to do ultimately, is just make it easier for people who are wanting to start a business or who are wanting to get involved in tech to be able to do that. Because I've had so many conversations with people who have, I don't know, like taken their last like $10,000. First of all, if $10,000 instead of five, I would have been crazy, but they're taking like the little bit that they have and they're spending it on, you know, random like thing that they think is going to get them, you know, the education they need, like tech wise or mm-hmm. the resources they need to start a business. And I can tell you, being in Oklahoma, what works and what doesn't work. And I want to bring attention to the things that are actually going to help people succeed. Like, that's what I want to do with the platform.
That's beautiful. I love that. And how did I not know about Right to Start? I'm going to put that in the show notes so everyone can take Please. A look at it. But it's a nonprofit. Is it just in Oklahoma or is it in U.S.?
So it's in the U.S. It is a nonprofit. And if you go to their website, it's just righttostart.org. There is a statement of principles there. Mm-hmm. And the founder, Victor Wong, we're working on getting 10,000 signatures on that. And
wow.
he's going to, march that up the steps Washington presented, like, I'm excited. It's a nonpartisan thing. Like, people on both sides care about entrepreneurship. Small business is what actually, you know, provides jobs.
Yes.
So let's make it easier for people to start them. Let's energize the economy.
Yes, Simple. Yes, yes. I had no idea. That is amazing, Janae. I will definitely make sure to put that in the show notes. And anyone that's listening, I encourage you to sign that, because that's the only way to shift things in a positive direction is through advocacy, policy, and legislation that supports more business owners, and specifically multiply marginalized business owners that don't necessarily have the access to capital as a white male does. So that's great. How did you find this organization? Did you really researching online? Did someone tell you about it?
Someone told me about it, actually. Someone in another city, and website. I started reading through everything, and I was like, okay, I called them and I said, you need me.
Yes. Love that energy.
Yes. And she said, okay, tell me more. And I told her, you know, I'm an entrepreneur myself. You know, of course, like, building my business is my primary focus, but I'm also really involved in the entrepreneurial community. And one of my favorite things to do is talk to other entrepreneurs and hear their stories. Like, I can tell you like what they need. I can tell you what I need. I can tell you what's helpful. Like, let me at this. So they're like, okay, here you go. So I started doing advocacy work for them. It's been fun.
That's amazing. It's beautiful that an organization like that exists, because it's definitely needed. Yes. And like, as you know, being an entrepreneur, it can be easy to get siloed, right? When you're your own boss and you're wearing all those hats. So having those communities are really invaluable. And I love that you leveraged, you know, technology to learn these new things and these little tidbits of maybe you didn't know XYZ, but, you know, the internet is freely available to us and knowledge is out there if you know how to be efficient in looking for it and making those connections. Yeah. So I love that you've kind of really made this nice, beautiful amalgamation of your technology background and experience, which we haven't even covered in like the rest of it.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Your project management experience, your advocacy experience, your volunteer work, but just more importantly, just the authenticity around all of that. That really like is what makes it successful. So I think, you know, one key thing for people to remember who are listening is you have to make sure what your why and what your intent is before you go into this. Because whenever you're staying up at night, or, you know, you're not at your kid's birthday party, not that would happen, but just those sacrifices that you have to make as an entrepreneur can be a lot.
They can, like, they really can. And I think I wish more people had conversations once again, like, around like what that really looks like, because you just see like all like the glitz and glamour on it. Yep. It's funny though, I haven't done a great job with it, but I've been chronicling kind of like the behind the scenes of like the entrepreneurial journey.
Good. On TikTok. I'm glad you're doing
because
that.
I want people to like see like what it actually looks like. And y'all, sometimes I'm like, how am I going to solve this problem? And me and my dev and my CTO like are like, you know, on Zoom, and we're brainstorming, we're trying to figure it out, and we're Googling, because I don't care what anyone says, that's what you end up doing is you Google.
Yep. I don't know. Let's find out together. Google.
Yes.
I love that. So it's kind of like a family community too, of being able to tap in and leverage, you know, those relationships, because you trust, right? And that's a big thing in early stage entrepreneurship, is that trust. I'm so glad that you're doing that. There's a new feature that came out on iOS 17. Mm-hmm. It's called Journals, if you have an iPhone.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's now a native baked in app. And what I like about it, one, it prompts me to create journals, and it could be whatever I want it to be. Like, for example, I added a photo and I added like an audio clip to kind of like reflect on the day. And then the next day it was like a video. And then the next day it was just text. So it's nice to be able to have the technology that meets you wherever you are in the moment to capture those pieces, because time flies, as you know, and it's really important to be able to go back and see how far you've come it's just like when you lose weight, when you look at yourself in the mirror every day, you don't yeah. see it as much as other people. But being able to compare that to like your day one photo, you see the big difference, and it's different whenever you see it in that light, and it makes a more of a profound impact.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yep. It's on. Oh my gosh. I love this. I love this. Okay.
Awesome. Let me know what you think about it. I think it's a good app because I have a journal that I've written in like physically that I started when I was 21, and being able to go back and look at like how hard I was on myself made me kind of like want to give like a nice little hug. Like, it's going to be okay. You don't need to be worrying about your weight in college, like, or these like dumb things. But yeah, I think it's important to be able to reflect on where you are in the moment and that we can share that with others, because it's not all glitz and glam. Although we would love to think it is. How I Built This is a great podcast.
I love that podcast.
Yeah, Rent the Runway is one of my favorite episodes on that podcast. Jen Hyman, she talks about how it, yes, listen to it. I've listened to it multiple times.
I have.
Isn't that great?
It's funny. It is. I have quite a few favorite episodes on there. So that's really interesting to hear that one is your favorite.
Which one is yours?
Oh my gosh, I can't think of his name, but he's the guy who founded the Razor Company. It was a black gentleman. I can't think of his name, but he founded the companies, the Razor. Remember, like Dollar Shave Club? Was that what it was?
Remember. I think that maybe
it was just
Dollar Shave Club.
I think it might be.
Okay.
It was just a very, like, I just remember how it made me feel.
Really?
And it was just a very authentic, like, genuine telling of his story. Mm-hmm. And I love hearing stories about people who are very honest about, listen, I didn't know how I was going to do this. I did not know what I was doing. Jamie Siminoff, the one who founded Ring. I got to meet him. Yes.
Whoa.
He actually came. Oh, yeah. I'll have to send you the picture of me and him.
That is so cool. Were you starstruck getting to meet him in person?
And I emailed him, y'all. He emailed me back.
What?
By the way, this is the other thing that I was just like, okay. And I want to, this is not calling him out or anything. It was not grammatically correct. Ask me if I care. I don't. I cared is that he responded to me. But one of the things that sticks out to me is he talked about trying to get this doorbell made. And telling, you know, a manufacturer in China, oh, I'll be there. I'll be in the neighborhood, and flying over there, and then finding out that guy actually like couldn't meet with him. And so, his chief of staff basically ended up kind of taking him around, and come to find out that was actually the person that he needed to know and meet with. But he talked about when he did that, his bank account was like in the negative. I mean, y'all, these are literally the types of like, okay, I'm just jumping all in now. And I'm not saying that you should or shouldn't do that, but like, that's actually like what really happens. And I feel like if you are passionate about something and you believe in something and you are almost backed into a corner, right? Like, you have to succeed, then man, do you find a way?
That's true. Fear is a great motivator. That's one of my favorite quotes.
It is. I'm like, oh, I need to pay my mortgage. Okay, I'll figure this out.
I love that you mentioned that because it reminded me of another episode of the founder of the cosmetic brand Tatcha that does like Japanese skincare. She's on there as well. And she talks about she like maxed out all of her credit cards at one point, and she was like real close to going bankrupt. And then, you know, that sale happened that, you know, was able to cover that and be able to scale to this multi-million dollar brand that's sold in Sephora and a lot of other places. But it's nice. It's sobering to hear from these founders who have these huge corporations to hear their origin stories of their failures, what they did to overcome them. And it just shows, it shines more light of just the normalcy of what you need to expect if you're going to go into this world of entrepreneurship, and like real key considerations of, you know, budgeting and do you take money out of your 401k? Like, you know, a lot of things to consider because it is a big decision.
It is. It is. But what can you live with, and what will you be upset later on that you didn't do?
Yeah, exactly. Everything is temporary, which is, you know, an interesting concept. But so I want to ask you about Big Ass Bag. So in terms of kind of, let's say AI is really huge right now, as you know, it's being mentioned on all these earnings calls. I saw a stat the other day that showed a graph of how many times it's been mentioned on earnings calls just since 2019. It's a direct northeast line compared to like blockchain and crypto and metaverse that's still down here. So I'm curious, are you already leveraging AI in Big Ass Bag, or do you have any ideas or aspirations to integrate AI into the tool as it currently stands?
Yeah, we are working on leveraging it.
Nice.
Actually, like, of course, yeah, within the tool. I mean, like, why would you not?
Yeah, true.
Why would you not? And then I personally had started leveraging it when ChatGPT got, you know, huge, because as I explained, I was pulling CSS selectors, like CSS selector data to kind of like get like, you know, the image, the title, the price. ChatGPT, I could literally just find the code, insert it into ChatGPT and ask for like a specific type of selector data. And 99% of the time it was right. I did not have that type of success when I was hiring contractors. And so for me, it was a no-brainer. And when I say 99% of the time it was right, that 1% was probably because user error. I probably didn't, you know, ask the question the right way or whatever. But yeah, so I mean, you can, to me, AI is like the great equalizer.
Yes, I agree.
It just is. So if you're not using it, you need to figure out what you need help with and how you can use it and leverage it to kind of help you scale quicker.
Especially as a solopreneur. How do you become a force multiplier? That's yet something I was talking about with my business coach today. Is there's this interesting concept as like, you know, we as millennials are the last generation to have experienced the transfer from analog to digital. And that provides us with a very unique perspective and expertise of technology. So I believe we will be the generation that helps bridge the gap between other generations, such as Gen Z, Gen X, and boomers, because, you know, either you grew up with it, you grew up without it, we're right in the middle. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the future as more people start to get into the technology space. But you're right. It's important to remember that if you're not leveraging these tools, someone else is. And someone else is leveraging it to force multiply and make the sale or create the idea. It's not really about AI taking your jobs. It's about leveraging AI to be more efficient so that your job doesn't get taken. Because if you're too apprehensive, you just can't, you're going to get left behind in the dust. I feel the AI is having the impact of on society, probably more importantly than the internet or electricity. It's wild. And not everyone realizes that yet.
Yeah. Well, I think people, my oldest daughter is 17 and we have conversations actually about AI quite often because yes, we do. And let me tell you why. This is very interesting. Their mindset, is almost, I want to use that, that's cheating. And
interesting.
Yes. Because sometimes she'll ask a question, I'm like, I don't know. Let's put that in chat. Like, I don't remember how to do Punnett squares. Okay.
Neither do I.
Let me just, and she's like, no.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just interesting. Like the fear, around that. I just did a panel where we talked about, responsible AI and education. And that was such a fun conversation, but I think you have maybe even said something similar to this, but AI won't take your job, but someone leveraging AI will. And I'm a big believer in that. And I'm also a big believer in AI, ChatGPT, whatever you're using. It can only answer the question that you ask, right? So if you ask a dumb question, you are going to get a dumb answer. You're really learning is how to ask better questions, and that in general will serve you well in life. You have to know what questions to ask.
Yes, exactly. You have to be clear about what it is that you're trying to get across. And it's really about knowing how to work with a machine, honestly. And that provides a different level of thinking of how specific do I need to be, like down to the tone. The more specific you are, the better. And I see people just using it, like, make a cocktail. That's great. But there's so much more you could be doing with it. Like, I uploaded a CSV of my podcast testimonials into ChatGPT-4. And I was able to integrate that into Canva and then one click. And then I've got 18 graphics with the testimonials that are ready to go. Like, psh, mind blown in a matter of
Oh my
seconds.
gosh.
Mind blown.
I my favorite thing to do is to pull our stats, like in our data, for example, from the Apple Analytics store, and then of course like from Google Analytics. And you can put that in there. And I start asking questions. Tell me about like the growth rate for I cannot talk today. Tell me about like the growth rate, like over this period of time. Like, what is the average monthly growth? What is the average weekly growth? What is the average daily growth? And then I'm not having to calculate and figure that out. You can also put all that information in there, and you can start asking chat to find trends and things that you don't even see. Like, and then oh, okay, so every year, right before the holidays, I know the holidays are a busy time, but actually people download and use this app the most on like 3 weeks and 2 days prior to Black Friday. Like, you get to start pinpointing this information and using it to really just kind of decide like, how am I going to market? How am I going to make sure my user, my customer is getting like what they need from my product or from my app? So I love AI. Like, it's
Me
great.
too. It makes life a lot easier. And it's interesting that your daughter has that perspective of like, I don't want to use it to cheat. That's
Yes.
fascinating.
Isn't
Wow.
it? We just
I
have
also did
conversations
a
about it.
I talked to some college students recently, and a lot of them were more along the lines of like they want to understand how to position themselves, right? How to be prepared for that. Like, what do I need to learn? What do I need to know? How do I talk about it? But you have to be adaptable and be able to think outside of the box because there's no playbook right now, necessarily on how to apply that in all these different majors and industries that students are in. So I appreciate that the generation is kind of like thinking towards the future
Oh
as they
yeah.
step into the workforce.
I like it.
Well, this has been an amazing conversation, Janae. I feel like one, it's been too long since we've
I
chatted.
know.
We For everyone listening, Janae and I go way back. We used to work together at the University of Oklahoma, and we worked in IT, and we have a lot of, amazing stories, and we've learned a lot. But more importantly, it's been nice to see you grow into
Oh.
this role that you've really worked hard for, and that you've approached it with, just enthusiasm and positivity, but
Oh.
realness as well. So thank you for being a modeled behavior of what real life entrepreneurship looks like for what you're doing. So thank you.
You and like thank you. That's like such kind words. Like, I really appreciate that. And likewise, it's been a joy to like just watch you just like be everywhere and then
Thank
like
you.
giving out the wisdom. Like, it's I'm like, oh, I know.
I try. I try. And technology, AI helps me do that. It's tremendously helpful. But for everyone that's listening that wants to follow along and learn more about what you're doing or learn more about the latest big ass bag updates, where can they find you on social?
So two places you can follow Big Ass Bag on TikTok, and you can of course follow Big Ass Bag on Instagram. It's at Bab Shopping, but if you put Big Ass Bag, you'll find it. And then follow me personally on TikTok if you are someone who cares about the behind the scenes. I'm losing my ish today. This is what's really going on type of updates, and it's Janae Saquon on TikTok.
Yay. Okay. I will make sure to link that in the show notes so people can come find you.
Yeah.
But truly, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to share more about your wisdom, your entrepreneurship journey, how you've found this unconventional path into a tech, women in tech business. I'm just so proud of you, and I look forward to having you back on the show whenever you reach that next milestone. But definitely let's grab coffee since we're in the same state. And I encourage people listening to call someone up, have some coffee, see how they're doing, check in on your friends, stay hydrated.
I love it. Thanks, Ashley. Everyone have a good day, evening, afternoon, whatever, wherever, whenever you're listening.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.